From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, after 25 attempts to get Nancy Pelosi to allow a vote to outlaw infanticide in the United States, House Republicans launched a discharge petition earlier today that could force a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act on the House floor. The bill's author, Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner, joins us along with the leader of the discharge petition, Minority Whip Steve Scalise, a little bit later. We'll also hear from Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas, a medical doctor who has delivered over 5,000 babies as a member of the pro-life caucus. And a prayer by State Representative Stephanie Borowitz has the Philadelphia Inquirer calling for an end to legislative prayer in the State House. What was so controversial about her prayer? Representative Borowitz is here later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And by the way, I'm going to be encouraging you to do this because now it is your time to join in this effort to end infanticide. We'll talk about this more when Congressman Wagner and Scalise join us to talk about how this discharge petition works. But I can tell you this, you've got to be a part of it. The website, TonyPerkins.com, more details to come, and there's resources there at that website as well, including the End Birthday Abortion Campaign, which is going to be a key part of pushing forward a vote to end infanticide in the United States. Well, today is really a critical day in this battle to protect babies who have survived botched abortions. In order for the Republicans to bring the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act to the floor for a debate and a vote, in which it requires 218 votes, they have to put together 218 signatures on a discharge petition, which will require some Democrats to at least support the idea that the bill should be openly discussed. Now, there's 197 Republicans. You can do the math. In just a moment, I'll be joined by two leading Republican representatives who are spearheading this effort. But first, earlier today, there was a press conference on Capitol Hill with several of the bill's sponsors, including the chairperson of the Values Action Team, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler. Now, the press conference was about the Born Alive Survivor Protection Act, and here is what just a snippet of what Congresswoman Hartzler had to say earlier today.
The lives of our country's youngest and most vulnerable newborn babies are in jeopardy. I find this preposterous. Today, one premature baby is provided with the best care available, and another infant is left to die. Or worse, and we know this has happened, the health care providers deliberately take the life of the child. All children, no matter the circumstances surrounding their birth, deserve immediate care and medical attention. And that's what the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act does. Every living, breathing child deserves appropriate and immediate medical care.
This, I know we see this somewhat in the context of abortion, but it is not. Okay, this is separate from abortion. We're talking about the line beyond abortion. Yes, abortion is an atrocity. It's a scourge on our land. And we're working back, and I think we're working back to eliminate it. And I think that in part is why you see the left pushing this issue of infanticide, trying to take America down a path that we do not want to go down, which will be hard to come back from. And that's why it's so critical that we draw this line and say, no, we will not be like this. We will not do this. We will not allow babies who are born alive to then either die lying on a medical table or, worse even yet, we will not end their lives like Kermit Gosnell did in Philadelphia. That's what we're talking about here. So House Republicans pushing to get a vote on this. 25 times they've gone to the House floor asking for unanimous consent, meaning that, hey, can we have a vote on this? Can we bring this to the House floor? 25 times they have been shut down. But Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana, frequent guest on our program, 30 legislative days ago filed what is called a discharge petition. And that will then, if they can get 218 votes, force a vote on this. All right, joining us now is the author of the bill, Republican Congresswoman Ann Wagner. She represents the 2nd District of Missouri, serves on the Financial Services Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee, and the Values, as well as Values Action Team, and also Congressman Steve Scalise, the minority whip, who is leading the discharge petition effort along with Congresswoman Wagner. Steve and Ann, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great being back with you, Tony.
It's awesome to be on with your listeners.
Well, let me start with you, Ann. I again want to commend you for your tenacity here. Tell our listeners what took place today.
It's a historic day and a real moment, I think, for our nation. The fact that we are going to take a stand on forcing Nancy Pelosi to bring this bill, the Born Alive Act, to the floor for a vote, H.R. 962. We need to make sure all your listeners are contacting their members of Congress to make sure that they get out and make a stand for giving life-saving care to infants and babies that are born alive.
Steve, you have kind of been, along with Ann, orchestrating this, working this 25 times. Various members of the House have gone to the House floor, you and Ann doing it the first time, asking for unanimous consent, meaning just to have a vote on this. They've refused. Today, the discharge petition began. You're already seeing some interest among Democrats to sign this because they know their constituents do not support infanticide.
Tony, you know everybody's going to be watching. I know your listeners are going to be watching real close, and we're keeping track, by the way, at my website, republicanwhip.gov. You'll be able to see a daily list of all the people who have signed, and people all across the country need to go to this website every day and click and see, did my member of Congress sign the discharge petition? And if not, this is the time to get engaged and give people a call. And by the way, I'll break some news for you, Tony. We just got the official count from day one. We set an all-time record as long as they've been tracking the first day of a discharge petition, more than 190 signatures, more than 190 signatures, including Democrats, bipartisan, historic day to have that many people signing up on the very first day.
That is huge and speaks to where the American people are on this issue and how Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership are out of step with the American people. And I would say even their own caucus, because I believe ultimately, I think, and Congresswoman Wagner, correct me if I'm wrong, but I actually think this Congress could pass this bill.
I do, too. It certainly passed in the 115th Congress in a bipartisan fashion. There is no reason why this bill shouldn't be brought to the floor. And we take a stand on life. We all believe that life begins at conception. Certainly Steve and I do, but this is about giving life-saving care to a child that is born because of a botched abortion. And we had testimony today from survivors. This happens. This is real. This bill is also going to make criminal penalties for those doctors that leave these children to die. It allows women and mothers to get civil remedies, and it has make sure that the states are counting the number of these born alive babies that are born each year. So there's a number of things that this bill is going to do, but most importantly, it's going to make sure that we're giving life-saving care to a newborn born alive infant.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner, along with Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise, the minority whip, join me to discuss this historic day, discharge petition being introduced on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. A record number of members already signing on to this discharge petition. And Steve, I'm going to link to that on our radio page so every day folks can see that, where that's going, then go to your site and get an update on that. But I want to go to a point that Ann just made. And I know, Steve, you're pro-life. You and I were elected at the same time back in Louisiana. You've got a long, distinguished record as a pro-life lawmaker. But this is not about abortion. This is taking America someplace dark and destructive that if we go down this path, I think the ramifications of this could be so significant that we have to draw the line here.
Yeah, Tony, and that's why I think so many people are paying close attention to what happens with this discharge petition and who signs. This transcends the abortion debate. When you ask people, first of all, I get to go around the country as the Republican whip, doing, you know, kind of speaking to groups, talking to members and in their districts from all around the country. And when I bring this issue up, Tony, the first reaction I always get is shock. It's not a question of whether or not they support the idea. They're shocked that this isn't already protected under law. If a baby is born alive outside of the womb, we're not even talking abortion anymore. We're talking about murder. And how can that be legal? And yet today it is. In a number of states, they don't have that legal protection for babies born alive. This bill is so important to make it a national standard that any baby born alive has full protections under law that anybody else enjoys.
And that is true. There were 26 states, Tony, that had born alive protections. And now we're seeing many of those states like Virginia and New York and others that are rolling those protections back. That is why Congress must act.
Right.
Our Constitution provides life, liberty, and equal protection under the law. And the founding fathers did not put an age limit on equal protections under the law, life, and liberty. And newborn infants need to have the same kind of protections that everyone else has. And this is also important for those mothers, too.
Anne, let me ask you this, because I know that your Democratic colleagues saw this coming. This has been no secret. They know the process. But what have you heard from some of them? Do they realize where the public is on this issue, that only 13% of Americans even support this concept that they're protecting?
Well, we've seen this massive lurch left, and whether it's on things like the Born Alive Act or whether it's on full-on socialized medicine or a Green New Deal, you name it. There seems to be this real push and lurch to the left. But this should not be a partisan issue, Tony. It just shouldn't be.
Right.
This is a human rights issue, and I can't imagine what they're thinking, but they're going to hear from your listeners and their constituents on this, and I hope that we hold their feet to the fire.
I am 100% with you. Steve, very quickly before we run out of time, the process, how will this unfold with this discharge petition?
Well, Tony, we'll need to get 21 Democrats to sign the discharge petition, and I'm working to make sure all Republicans sign, and I think by the end of this week that'll be established. But we need 21 Democrats to sign to get the 218 requisite signatures to sign today. So we already have Democrats who have acknowledged they're not going to stand with Nancy Pelosi, who is trying to keep this bill from coming to the floor. We will continue to get the entire country engaged. It's going to be hard for anybody to go back home and say they're pro-life if they don't sign the discharge petition.
Well, we're certainly going to encourage our folks to give them a call and encourage them to do that. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, Congressman Steve Scalise, as always, thank you for joining us, and thank you for leading out on what I think is one of the most important issues facing our country today. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, now it's your turn. You need to get engaged. You can call the Capitol switchboard number 202-224-3121. And beginning tomorrow, we'll have a link up there where you can check out Steve's website. All right, we continue our conversation with Congressman Roger Marshall, a doctor, on the other side of the break.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. Let me give you that Capitol switchboard number if you do not already have that committed to memory or in your phone. It is 202-224-3121. That's to the House, 202-224-3121. And it is the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. What you want to do is to communicate to your member of Congress. You want them to sign that discharge petition, which simply allows for debate and a vote on the bill. Now, this ties in with what I was talking about earlier, and that is the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. I've been talking about this for nearly a month now. You're going to have to move Nancy Pelosi and members of the Democratic Party to allow a debate and a vote on this bill. We want to send a very visible, undeniable message to Nancy Pelosi, and that is in the form of those little thermal baby hats that a newborn receives when they're born and welcomed into the world and loved and protected. Well, so far, we have over 22,000 of those hats that have been provided by our listeners and by others. At the 90,000 mark, I'm going to, in coordination with Congressman Scalise, we're going to deliver those to the House, to Nancy Pelosi. So you can be a part of that. Send a message that she cannot miss. Go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the, at the top, there's a picture there of In Birthday Abortion, or you can go to InBirthdayAbortion.com. All right, one of our other guests that's been on the program a number of times, and the reason is because not only is he passionate about this, he knows something about it, and he is working along with Ann and Steve to move this issue forward, and it's Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall. He is a doctor. Prior to coming to Congress, an OBGYN, delivered more than 5,000 babies throughout his practice as a physician. Today, he serves on the Agriculture Committee as well as the Science, Space, and Technology Committee, and we're honored to have him back with us today. Congressman Marshall, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks. We're up to 191 members of Congress have signed onto our Born Alive legislation. We need 218. So we're on our way. Thanks for all you're doing, and Family Research Council is doing as well.
Well, by the way, before we get into that, I just want to thank you. We had dinner last Thursday night, a group of supporters in D.C. for a Christian Heritage Tour. You came and spoke to them about this discharge petition, about the bigger issue. And let me just say, folks were so encouraged to hear from you and Congressman Mark Meadows and the others they heard through the course of the weekend. But in particular, how so many men and women like yourself are motivated by their faith to stand up for life, to stand up for religious freedom. People go home with a sense of hope that America does have a future because there are those that are willing to stand up and fight for what we know is right, even though the opposition may be intense.
Yeah, Tony, and I just can't tell you what it was just a great moment for me to pause. I felt like I was getting fed rather than me feeding other people. It was just great to be prayed over. And just tell everybody we can feel their prayers. Tell everybody, I know that people that are listening to you are praying to God for us, that this country might turn its heart, turn its eyes back on the faith that our forefathers talked about, the Judeo-Christian values this country were founded upon. It was just great to be in a room full of believers watching the sunset over the Capitol. And it was just a moment for me to catch my breath. And just thanks for giving me the energy to get back up and fight for another day.
Well, and you were fighting today, and as you mentioned, over 190 signatures, I should say, on the discharge petition. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Exactly.
But Congressman Scalise earlier said that's a record. As long as they've been keeping records on the first day of a discharge petition, that is a record. So you have to be encouraged that we're seeing movement this fast.
You know, absolutely I am. And there's two Democrats that have signed on, and I know so many times we're beating up Congress members, but Congressman Lipinski from Iowa and Congressman McAdams from Utah are two Democrats that have signed on. I'm so grateful for them showing leadership, and you're just looking forward to get us to 218.
What should our listeners say to the congressional offices when they call?
Yeah, I think just very specifically, ask their Congress member to sign on to Steve Scalise's discharge petition, the Born Alive Act. I think if you say Born Alive, they're going to know exactly what you're talking about.
And you've talked about this with passion, but also as a doctor who has delivered over 5,000 babies. As people are having conversations about this, I mean, what... You know, we know intuitively that this is wrong, but
right.
I want you to encourage people with an understanding of how important it is that they engage their neighbors, they engage their coworkers about maybe a conversation that's uncomfortable. But I think given where we are as a nation, it's essential that we talk about it. What should they say?
I know it's hard to imagine this, but probably in the thousands of babies, relatively late-term abortions are performed. And because of failure of the process, babies are born alive. So every year, thousands of babies who were trying to be aborted somehow miraculously survived this abortion process. And we owe it to those babies to try to save their lives. I know it just sounds like, why do we have to even talk about this? But evidently we do. These babies are just being left to die and to suffer a cruel, horrible death. In this late trimester, it's so hard to guess how far a baby is when it's going to be born. And just so often they've made a mistake. They've misguessed the gestational age of a baby. Another reason we need sonograms done earlier and more often. But just thousands of times. We got thousands of babies' lives we need to save.
Well, you are doing the Lord's work in standing up for the unborn, and we are grateful for that. And we're going to encourage our folks, A, to pray for you and your colleagues that are defending the sanctity of human life, but also to call their member of Congress and encourage them to sign on to this discharge petition. Congressman Marshall, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. Call your congressman and call any congressman in your state. We need all the help we can get. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, and we will do that. Coming up next, a prayer by State Representative Stephanie Borowitz has the Philadelphia Inquirer calling for an end to legislative prayer in the State House. What was so controversial about her prayer? She joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, let me give you that Capitol switchboard number again so you can weigh in with your member of Congress on the Born Alive Discharge petition. That number, 202-224-3121. And look, don't hesitate. You may say, well, I'm not sure exactly who my congressman is. Now, I'm sure most of you do, but don't be intimidated. If you don't, just give them your zip code. Where you live, give them your zip code, and they'll connect you with that office. Again, that switchboard number, 202-224-3121. All right, yesterday, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the editorial board, called for an end to prayers before the legislature opened and even suggested, I think based upon their piece, I was trying to be, I'll read it to you in a moment, but it sounds as if they're suggesting that the oaths on Bibles taken, you know, when you take an oath on a Bible, that's the result of holes in the quote-unquote wall of separation of church and state. Now, the question is this just more of the left's long march to remove God from all public spaces? Well, this all was prompted, in part, at least that's what they say, because of a prayer that was offered last Thursday by State Representative Stephanie Borowitz. Now, here is the prayer that she prayed. And by the way, folks, I've done this a number of times. Back when I was in the legislature, I opened the session in prayer. I've opened Congress in prayer. This happens all over the country, all right? And as Christians, we pray as Christians. Here's her prayer. Listen to this.
Representative Borowitz.
Thank you, Speaker. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am. The one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And I'm so privileged to stand here today. So thank you for this honor, Jesus. God, for those that came before us, like George Washington and Valley Forge, and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall, Jesus, that sought after you and fasted and prayed for this nation to be founded on your principles and your words and your truths. God, forgive us. Jesus, we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country. And we're asking you to forgive us, Jesus, that your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. Jesus, you are our only hope. God, I pray for our leader, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel, and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, the one who, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, the prayer was declared offensive because she mentioned the name of Jesus 13 times. And on top of that, thanked President Trump for supporting Israel, and then was branded Islamophobic because the first Muslim woman elected to the legislature was about to be sworn in. Now, it's been interesting what most news stories, on that last point, what most news stories, including the CNN segment that I did on Saturday morning about this, conveniently failed to mention is that a Muslim imam also prayed in the legislature invoking the name of Allah. Well, joining me now is Representative Stephanie Borowitz. Stephanie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Let me ask you this. Are you surprised by the reaction to your prayer? Because I think people need to know that was not the first time there's been a prayer in the name of Jesus that has been offered in that legislative chamber.
Yeah, it has been surprising. I did not expect that. I prayed as I always pray. I try to read my Bible, I said, every morning, and my sister usually calls me, and we pray together every day, and we pray for our president, we pray for our vice president, we pray for our leaders, as the Bible directs us. And most of my prayer is scripture. So, I was very surprised at the backlash from this.
What do you think's behind this? What's driving this?
You know, I think you were saying before when I was listening, when I was waiting for you to come on, is there's a push to remove God from our nation. And Tony, you know that there's an all-out assault to have God removed from our country. And that's the basis and the foundation of this nation. And if I can, as a little stay-at-home mom, can encourage Christians to kind of stand up and not be silent any longer, that's, I guess, what God's using me for, you know, just in me praying as I always do.
You know, and I ran out of time on Saturday to make the point on CNN that, you know, it is, you read about this in Acts chapter 4, it's, you know, nice prayers are okay. You can pray very nondescript. You can pray to God. You can pray, you know, to Providence. You can pray. But when you mention the name of Jesus, you know, that's what gets people riled up. But in Acts chapter 4, it was the same thing. They said, we don't want you preaching or teaching in the name of Jesus. But that is the name that is above every name. And as Christians, we can't deny him. We have to acknowledge him and the fact that we follow him.
Absolutely. And that's what I think is offensive, is when you say Jesus' name, because there's power behind that name, and we know that. So I think that's why they tried to say, they then went on later that day to say it was very divisive. But you know, there's power in the name of Jesus.
Stephanie, we're up against a break. Can you hold on? Because I want to finish this conversation on the other side.
Absolutely,
of the break.
Sure.
Okay, great. Because I want to talk about the Philadelphia Inquirer, what they're calling for. Also, this is not disconnected with what we've seen in the Senate Judiciary Committee attacking people because of their faith. Not unconnected to the attack on Mike Pompeo that took place from the New York Times this week. That's what we talk about next. Don't go away.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. Let me give you that switchboard number again, 202-224-3121. That's for the discharge petition that pertains to the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. The discharge petition maturing today, now over 190 in the first day alone. It just came out about 11 o'clock today. You need to call your member of Congress and encourage them to sign the discharge petition by Congressman Steve Scalise. Again, that web phone number, 202-224-3121. And the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. Join us. Send a message to Nancy Pelosi. Send one of the baby hats. You can find out more by going to tonyperkins.com. All right. As we were talking about in the previous segment, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the editorial board, calling for an end to legislative prayers. Because they say the prayer was controversial last week by State Representative Stephanie Borowitz, who was on the line with us. Stephanie, thanks for sticking around. Now, the other aspect of this, and by the way, I do think this is the long march through the public spaces to push the Christian faith out, and they're going to use whatever excuse they can. I mean, we've seen this with judicial nominees and other Trump appointees who happen to be people of faith, that they're attacked in the Senate Judiciary Committee for those judicial nominees. And even this week, the New York Times going after Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, because he is a evangelical believer. This is a part of it. Now, they'll use excuses. Now, this particular case, I saw that, you know, they're trying to connect this to Islamophobia because the first Muslim woman was sworn in the same day in the legislature. Did you hear that buzz, or was that something that was created after the fact?
It was kind of created after the fact. But what most people didn't know, and I think you alluded to it in the beginning of the program, was I prayed, we said the pledge, and then I walked off to get some water in the back in the lounge room. And shortly after that, an Islamic cleric, I believe, did a prayer or a chant for a little over a minute on that same state house floor.
Yeah, that was interesting that that hasn't been mentioned. And it was also interesting that your colleague, Representative I think Johnson, the Muslim representative, even admitted in the interview on Saturday that she initially didn't think anything about your prayer. And it wasn't until after the fact that other people started talking to her that there was a problem. So, I mean, because I think the context in which you gave it, that is the way so many people have prayed in that legislative chamber before you, and all the historical facts that you made reference to, which are geographically located in that state, it just fit. So there's nothing abnormal about it.
Absolutely. That's just my heart, Tony. I spoke my heart. That's how I pray. I pray from my heart. It says in the Bible that he looks at our heart. So I try to pray from my heart what I was feeling that day and what I felt like God wanted, you know, I guess the nation to hear, which I thought just the General Assembly would hear, but now the nation's heard it. And, you know, there's 60 Bible verse references throughout the Pennsylvania state capitol. There's a verse in Deuteronomy behind me as I stood there. And as I stood there and prayed, you could look up and see the verse in John. It says, "They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free." And I mean, God's word's all over our Capitol building in Pennsylvania, and I know at all of our capitals. And that's what they're trying to remove. And I think by us speaking out and standing up and just doing our part and continuing to stand strong on God's word, the basis of this nation and of freedom, that will make a difference.
I could not agree more. And I want to go back to Acts, where when the apostles were told not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. And just to put this in context for our listeners, this was the same crowd that had crucified Jesus less than 2 months previous. And so these were guys, they knew they meant business. I mean, they knew that they had the power to do them harm. And so what did they do? They didn't run and hide. They didn't go and pray for God to give them a new vocation. They went and had a prayer meeting, and they prayed for boldness to declare the name of Jesus. And what
Amen.
Happened? They turned the world upside down.
That's right. And they also said, I believe it was two of the disciples said, "We must obey God, not man." And that was critical. And you're right. They turned the world upside down. And it's all it's going to take is for Christians to just speak out and stand up and stand on what this country was founded upon. My sister was telling me today about the pilgrims and how much they sacrificed and the covenant they made with God when they landed, and just the people that have sacrificed before us. I know I always get choked up when I talk about our history here, but, you know, when I was listening to David Barton today and all the amazing history of this nation and all of the sacrifice and what's happened, and that's not going to end on our watch. It's freedom's on the line, and I know with you and what you're doing and God placing people in our legislators, as legislators around the nation, that we're not going to let that happen.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that we're not going to run into opposition, resistance, ridicule. It's going to happen. But, you know, we don't have to. That shouldn't surprise us. And in fact, Jesus warned his disciples in John chapter 8 that that kind of stuff would happen. That doesn't mean that we have to be hard-shelled. Doesn't mean we have to be offensive. It just means we stand, and as you said earlier from John, we declare the truth because it's the truth that will set us free. Stephanie, I want to go back for a moment to the prayer, because I don't want this has been missed by most of the media that's reported on this. As you said, the imam who prayed after you did and prayed not in English, but prayed, and this is based upon Think Progress. Now, I know that's not necessarily a reliable source, but they provided the translation of the prayer. And this is according to Think Progress. Now, again, I consider the source, but they said this is what the imam prayed. It was some kind of regular prayer that they would pray. And it was, "In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, the most beneficent, the most merciful, owner of the day of judgment. Thee alone we worship, thee alone we ask for help. Show us the straight path, the path of those whom thou hast favored, not the path of those who earn thy anger, nor those who go astray." Now, that is what was prayed by the imam. Now, I don't see any folks there in Pennsylvania turning over cars and burning them as a result of that. So I mean, look, we understand religious freedom. You didn't take, issue with the fact that a Muslim was elected to the state legislature, but just because they might be offended by a prayer in the name of Jesus doesn't mean that we somehow have to go silent.
Absolutely. And I was in there that next day. We had the translation. The next day on Tuesday, another Muslim got up and explained and translated what was said. I didn't know it was that. I thought it was a part of the Quran, which I don't know if that's what you just read also. But so we sat in there for the translation, no yelling. Like during my prayer, I don't know if you could hear, but when I mentioned Israel and started praying for Israel as the Bible directs us to pray for Israel, there was like an object, and you could hear kind of mumbling in the well of the assembly, kind of, you know, people getting upset about that fact. But yet twice we had Muslims pray, but there was no yelling at them or disrespect or, you know, being offensive or anything during theirs. It just happens to be when we mentioned Jesus and then praying for Israel.
And the point that I was trying to make on Saturday on CNN was the fact that, look, over 70% of Americans identify as Christian. Less than 1% identify as Muslim. But in a country in which we cherish religious freedom and freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and we give rights to people, that someone of a minority faith, like a Muslim, can be elected to a state house, can be elected to Congress, have the same rights and privileges as everyone else. I challenge anyone to point to a country that is 70% Muslim in which religious minorities have the same freedoms and privileges that they have here. I can make that challenge because I can tell you there are none. And the reason is because of the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country that values the individual, values freedom. And if they succeed in destroying the Christian heritage of this country, they will lose that very freedom that minority here enjoys.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Tony. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's what the founding fathers, just what you said. That's why they wanted our country to be different and founded upon God's word, because that is the only basis of true freedom. You know, that's why they wanted us to be self-governed according to God's word. That's why they wanted the Bible in our school system so that we could self-govern, because they knew the more we walked away from Jesus, the more freedoms we would lose. And here we are, Tony. But the great thing is the Bible says we can't stand in the gap, that we can be watchmen on the wall for our nation. So,
Stephanie, let me ask you this question for other elected officials that are listening. I know we have a lot that listen to the program. What would you say to them, Christian lawmakers, Christian council members, Christian school board members, when it comes to this inevitable conflict that's going to come when they mention the name of Christ when they stand up? What would you say?
You know, I had somebody do a little bit of training with me and just safety training, and he always said, do what's right, not what's easy. And I know that's not in the Bible, but don't become weary in well-doing. That is in the Bible. But do what's right. And it's not going to be easy. You know, you look back at Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and it wasn't easy for him to say, you know, not to stand is to stand, not to speak is to speak. So those are some of the things that motivate me in my life. And I do show God's love, and we are loving, you know, and loving your neighbor, because I know I've gotten so much hate mail, but we are loving, but we also do stand on truth and God's word. So.
Well, Stephanie, we applaud you for your courage and your boldness and your clarity. We thank you for not being ashamed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. It was a privilege and an honor to stand for Jesus that day. And I had no idea, but when you proclaim Jesus' name boldly and with authority that he's given us, I guess it rings throughout the nation and the world. So it was an honor to lift his name up.
Well, Stephanie, just keep standing. All right.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Stephanie Borowitz, state representative in the state of Pennsylvania, in the Keystone State. Look, I'm telling you, the conflict is going to happen, so we shouldn't be surprised that it occurs. The question is, what do we do when it happens? And I faced this years ago. And you can take a couple of different courses. You can take the path where you just kind of shrink back and you say, you know what, I don't want to be a part of controversy. Look, I say this all the time when I speak. I don't know how often I say it on the radio, but I don't like controversy. I don't actually like politics. I never would have chosen it. I loved my career as a law enforcement officer, but the Lord had a different plan. But one of the things I cannot stand silently by when something is wrong. And I am going to defend anyone's right to religious freedom and the freedom of speech. I'm not going to stand by and allow what made this country great to be lost. And as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I cannot shrink back and be silent or hide in the shadows because there are those who want to stamp out silence, eradicate, eliminate all public displays or references to Jesus Christ and to the Christian faith. You see, this, as I was saying earlier with Stephanie, the fruit, if you uproot the tree, you lose the fruit. The fruit of freedom that we have in this country is the result of the Judeo-Christian root. It is the tree of liberty. And if you uproot that, or you allow it to be neglected, or you cut it down, you lose the fruit of freedom. And everybody, that's everybody. That's not just Christians who lose that freedom. It's everyone. You cannot find another country that, you look in Western civilization, those countries that are founded on and continue to be guided by that Judeo-Christian ethic, that Judeo-Christian truth, those principles, that is where freedom prospers. That's where minorities are protected and treated with dignity and safely. That's what's at stake here, folks. We cannot wave a white flag. I don't care how intense the opposition is. I don't care how difficult the path becomes. You cannot, we cannot wave a white flag. I would encourage you, be bold like Stephanie and other lawmakers and legislators and city council members and school board members. You know, don't go around with, there's not many that do this. But, we don't have a Jesus chip on our shoulder. We don't need to be offensive, but we don't need to shrink back. We don't need to be afraid. If what we stand for, there are those that want to create conflict over it, let them create the conflict. I'm not surrendering. You'll never see me carrying a white flag. It won't happen. We will continue to stand and speak truth, whether it's received, whether it's applauded or not. And I encourage you to do the same. All right, folks, again, your homework for today, call the Capitol switchboard. Very important that we get those 218 signatures in order to get the discharge petition complete and a vote on the House floor on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Call the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. Also, if you've not yet joined the End Abortion, the End Birthday Abortion campaign, go to TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, you got it. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.